Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Pei Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara on Daf Pei Hei will commence from the 6th line from the top, where you'll notice Ula in a circle. Before we go into the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading that we provide on the outside margin of our Daf under the heading No Say. It says, Dino Shel Ula, Emure Kodshim Kalim Shehelom Lemizbeach Lifnei Zrikas Domon, the innards of light-level sacrifices that were brought onto the Mizbeach before the sprinkling of the blood, lo yerdu. They're not to be brought down. Nasu lachmoy shel Mizbeach. They have become part of the food or the bread, so to speak, of the Mizbeach. They're locked into the Mizbeach. We might want to note beforehand that when you're dealing with light-level sacrifices, the innards are the only part of a light-level sacrifice of the Kodshim Kalim that becomes Kodshe Kodshim. That is true only after the Zrikas Adam. This piece of Gemara is going to be talking about the Emurim that were put on the Mizbeach before the Zrikas Adam. In terms of order of events, this is not the correct order in which things should be taking place. First, there should be the Zrikas Adam, and then the innards are brought onto the Mizbech and cast into the fire. But in this case, it was done out of order. Omar Ula, Emure Kodshim Kalim, Shehelon Lifnei Zrikas Domon, Lo Yerdu. The innards of light-level sacrifices, light-level sanctity sacrifices, if they're brought onto the Mizbeach before the Zrikas Adam, they're not to be brought down. Nasu lachmoy shel Mizbeach. They are considered part of the food of the Mizbeach. They're, for our purposes, it means they're to remain on the Mizbeach. Before we go further, you'll notice immediately a triangle. Under the Mivneh heading on the outside margin, the structural note, we have featured triangles, and they will appear in the Gemara as we go on in two directions. These are simunim, we have written in, shapes, the hokel al ma'akav hamasumatan, in order to make it easier to follow the back and forth nature of the discussion that will follow in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Zeira, so turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Zeira, af ana nami tanina. Ula's teaching is also found in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shenishbach Doma, a sacrifice whose blood spilled out, the Sheyotza Doma Chutz L'Kloim, or its blood left the Azora. So this is, of course, a problematic situation as far as the sacrifice is concerned, but yet it says, Lo Tered, we say about this situation that if you have, let's say, a Korban Ola, whose meat is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So we say that the meat shall, if it's brought onto the Mizbeach, even though the Zrikas Adam did not take place and won't even take place, but even so, if the meat is brought onto the Mizbeach, it is to stay there. So Rabbi Zeira reasons, Uma hosam the imbo lizrok ein lo lizrok, amris im olu lo yerdu. Mind you, over there, in the case cited in the Mishnah, where if he would want to do the sprinkling of the blood, he won't be able to. And yet, we say that if the meat is brought onto the Mizbeach, it shall not come down. Ha-ha, the case that Ula was talking about, which is a more obvious case, the im bo lizrok zorek, here he has an option of doing the zrika, even though he brought the Emurim onto the Mizbech prematurely, nevertheless he can do the Zrika now, lo kol shekein, then all the more so, once it's brought up onto the Mizbech, it shall not be brought down. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects that, and that's indicated by the inverted triangle. Tirgamah, the Mishnah that mentions that it shall not be brought down, akodshe kodshim. The Mishnah is talking about sacrifices of a high-level sanctity nature. Those kind of sacrifices have what's called kedushas haguf. They have inherent sanctity even before the zrikas adam. That is not the case when you're dealing with kodshim kalim. So Ula's halacha, which featured kodshim kalim, as you can see by just glancing up, you see the dashed underlined expression. Ula's halacha is not necessarily borne out by the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about kodshe kodshim. The Gemara asks, but when you look back at the Tanaic source, Hare Pesach de kodshim kalim hu, the Mishnah made a reference to the Korban Pesach. And if that be the case, the Korban Pesach is an example of kodshim kalim. And it is taught in the Mishnah as one of the examples of im olu lo yerdu. The Mishnah spoke about a Pesach that was done shelo lishma. So we see that the Mishnah is not limited to kodshim kala, not limited to kodshe kodshim, to the high level sanctity sacrifices, but it includes the kodshim kalim as well. So then the Mishnah could support Rabbi Zeiro's teaching. For the sake of accuracy, let us just mention that we are dealing with a Tanaic source, not the Mishnah per se, but the Braisa that was seen on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. We ought to note that we have cross-references, markers, in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You can see a few lines up, there was an arrow indicating Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. And you'll find back on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph an arrow indicating Pei Hei Amud Aleph to help find where this quote is coming from. Likewise, with regard to the Korban Pesach, from which we're trying to re-establish Rabbi Zeiro's opinion that the source is dealing with Kodshim Kalim as well, and hence that the source mentioned Korban Pesach, if brought up, it shall not come down, which would support Rabbi Zeiro's teaching, which dealt with the Emurei Kodshei Kalim, and in citing the Pesach as a support to Rabbi Zeiro, the Hava Mina is that we're talking about a Pesach whose blood spilled out, or whose blood was Yotze Chutz L'Kloyim. That when the source on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph mentions that a Pesach, if brought up, does not come down, we're talking, the Hava Mina is that we're talking about a Pesach that whose blood spilled out, and hence we could use the argument, the Kal V'chomer that was cited just a couple lines up. The Gemara, though, at this point rejects the attempt to use Pesach as a support for Rabbi Zeira, Tirgamo b'shelo lishmon. The case of the Pesach that if brought up is not brought down is not talking about a Pesach whose blood spilled out, but rather it's talking about a Korban Pesach that was done shelo lishma. It was done without the proper intent, without thinking about the Korban Pesach, or rather, while doing the Pesach, he was thinking about, he had in mind a different Korban. So at this point, we're holding in a situation where Ula may have said his halacha, but we cannot offer a support to it. We continue, though. Tanan, notice the triangle is repositioned, point up, in the same position as Rabbi Zeira. So we will see very shortly that this little piece of this section is going to support Rabbi Zeira. We have a teaching that says in the Tanaic source, "V'kulon she'olu chayin legabi mizbeach yerdu." All sacrifices that were brought on the mizbeach while still alive are to be brought down. Ha shchutin lo yerdu. However, sacrifices that were slaughtered and brought on the mizbeach, they're not to be brought down. My lav. What are we to assume? Lo shno kodshe kodshim, lo shno kodshim kalim. there is no distinction between the upper level sanctity korbanos and the lower level, the lighter level sanctity korbanos. And we've dashed, underlined kachim kalim, that would be like Ula's teaching. Ula featured the emure kachim kalim that are brought onto the mizbeach, and that of course is a case, we're talking about the innards, so it's after it was shechted, and as the inference that we just drew from this Tanaic source indicates, once it's shechted it, and brought on the mizbeach, it shall stay there, even if it's brought on, even if the innards are brought on before the zrikas dam. Loi, the Gemara rejects this as well. Ha shchutin, the inference that we drew from the Mishnah that spoke about live animals must be brought down, and we inferred, but if they were shechted, they stay up. We say, in the case of shchutin, mehen yerdu, mehen lo yerdu. Some of them will come down, and some of them will not come down. In other words, the kachim kalim will be brought down, and that's not like Ula. Only the kachim would stay up. The Gemara asks, but v'ha kulon katani? But the Mishnah uses the word kulon. Kulon means all of them, making no distinction. So the Gemara answers, kulam achayin. The all-encompassing expression of kulam is referring to all live animals are to be brought down. All live, in fact, even kotshe kotshim, live animals are to be brought down. But when it comes to shchutim, there we do make a distinction. Once again, we would not be supporting Rabbi Zera. The Gemara asks, well, if that's how you're learning the Mishnah Pshita, that's obvious. If all the Mishnah is teaching me is that all live animals are to be brought down, taken off the Mizbeach, that's obvious. Rashi adds to this, the third wide line under the Gemara, Pshita di Yerdu, Deha Chosen Ve'olin Achar Shchita, Hoyol U Bikshirin Kaimi. It's obvious that these are to be brought down because we're dealing with kosher sacrifices. They're going to be brought back up on the Mizbeach anyway after they're slaughtered. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? L'oilam achayin. In fact, we're talking about live animals. The kulon expression is to teach me about live animals, that all live animals are to be brought down. And the chiddush of that is, the Gemara goes on to say, ubedukin shevaayin v'alibid Rabbi Kiva. We're including in this the animals that have an eye blemish called dukin shevaayin, according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds deim olu lo yerdu. Rabbi Kiva holds that if you have a slaughtered sacrifice that happened to be a baal mum, a blemish of this nature, only of this nature, this eye problem called dukin shibayin, Rabbi Kiva holds that a slaughtered baal mum that happened to be mistakenly brought up on the mizbech that suffered, let's say, from dukin shibayin, that case is that when it's slaughtered, if it's brought up, it is not to be brought down. However, the live version of that is to be brought down. Let's take a look at this in the Rashi. Rashi is the fourth line under the Gemara, Le'olam Achayin Nokat Kulon. The expression Kulon in the Mishnah is, in fact, restricted to all live animals. They are to be brought down, Ulashminan, and to tell me, Diyerdu, that they are to be taken off the Mizbeach. Ubedukin Sheba'ayin Itzdirich Lashminan, and regarding the case of the eye blemish, this Mishnah is necessary, Shepsulin Mechayim. These animals are unacceptable when they are alive. V'chi machtinen lehu, and when you take them off the Mizbeach, sulo maski, they're not going to be brought up again. Notice this point is in contrast with the pshita that we said just the line above in the Rashi, where we mentioned that if we're dealing with a kosher kind of animal, and it's alive, it's poshut, it's obvious it's taken off the Mizbeach because it's going to be brought back up on anyway afterwards. In this case, when you have a live dukin shibayin problem animal, it is to be brought off the Mizbeach, and it's not going to be brought back on. That's what the Rashi just said, v'chi machtina lehu. When you take it off, Rashi goes on, sulo maski, you're not going to bring it back on, to kaimalon, bipsulin, we hold with regard to the unacceptable animals, kishem shim olu leu yerdu, just like if they're brought up, they don't come down, kach im yerdu lo yalu. So too, if they are brought off, they're taken off the mizbeach, they're not to be brought up again afterwards. V'afilu hochi yerdu. Even so, even though these are not going to be brought up again, they are to be taken off. The ein mizbeach mekadesh chayim. The mizbeach is incapable of sanctifying that which is alive. Sanctifying meaning to restrict it to the top of the mizbeach and call it lachmo yishal mizbeach. That's only true after something is slaughtered. So let us go over this last point again. This concept of kulon is in fact restricted to chayim. You'll ask, well, if you're talking about live animals, it's obvious that they're brought up because they are. It's obvious that they're to be brought down from the mizbeach because they're going to be brought up again anyway later on. So to this, the Gemara just mentioned that in this case, they will not be brought up after their shechta because you're dealing with a blemished animal with an eye problem called dukin shebayin. And even though it's not going to be brought up after it's shechted, nevertheless, when it's alive, it is to be brought down, is to be taken off the mizbeach. Continuing in the Gemara, B'mayu kimto. So how did we set up the Mishnah so far? B'psulin, are you telling me that we're talking about animals that are pasul? We just said that the v'chul on all of the sacrifices that the Mishnah is featuring, that when brought up alive, they are to be taken off, they are to be brought down. Then we established that the Mishnah is talking about psulin, the balmum, the blemished animal with the eye problem. Well, then, Amos Seifa. Well, then, let's just continue reading the end of the Mishnah. And the end of the Mishnah says, V'chein oila she'olsa chaya l'roish ha'mizbeach teirei. An oila sacrifice that's brought on the mizbeach alive, it shall come down. Shachta v'rosh ha'mizbeach, if it's slaughtered at the top of the mizbeach, the ola is slaughtered there, then yafshid yinatech b'mekoma, it shall be skinned, yafshid is skinned, and yinatech is dismembered in its spot, there on the top of the mizbeach. Well, v'i psula, if you're talking about a psula, then bas hefshet v'nituach hi v'nitach osa amarachmona osa ksher v'lo psula. The pasuk that talks about the need to dismember the ola is talking specifically about a kosher animal. It says osa, which is a limitation expression. Only a kosher one is subject to this halacha of being dismembered, and not a psula. So how can you say that the Mishnah is talking about psulim when, in fact, when you read the end of the Mishnah, it features, after it speaks about kulon shalu chayin, it features the ola, and it says that if the ola is brought up alive, it is to be if it's slaughtered, that is, on the top of the mizbeach, then it's subject to the continued ola procedure. That would indicate that we're not dealing with psula, but we're rather dealing with sherim. The Gemara explains, Seifa ason l'ksheira. The last clause that we just cited in the most recent upright triangle, the Seifa, is in fact talking about kosher, a kosher ola. However, the rest of the Mishnah, the section prior to that, was talking in fact about psulim. And if you follow the triangles, you can see that this Seifa Ason L'Kshera is in effect part of the scheme of the Gemara that shows there is no support to Rabbi Zeira. The Gemara asks, Umay Komash Malon, if you're telling me about that the Seifa is talking about a kosher ola, what is the Chiddush? The answer is, the Yesh Hefshet V'nituach B'rosh HaMizbeach. The Chiddush is that there, if in fact is the procedure that's usually done on the floor of the Azara, the skinning and the dismembering, can take place at the top of the Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, well, Ulaman de Omar ein hefshet v'intua b'rosha Mizbeach ma'ikol ha'meimar, if there, according to the Man de Omar, the opinion that says that there is no hefshet v'nituach at the top of the Mizbeach, and the reasoning behind this particular Man de Omar is, since you could, if you're talking about a kosher ola that was slaughtered on Tamas Beach, so simply take it off, do the hefshet v'nituach on the floor, because it's not derech eretz, it's not proper we'll call it proper behavior to do this activity on the top of the mizbeach. It's not respectable. So there is a daya that holds ein hefshet v'nituach b'rosh mizbeach. So if that be the case, so then what's the chiddush of the seifa? Hocha b'mayaskinon kegoin shehoisa lo shas hakosher. V'nifsala. V'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon hi d'yomar kevon shenizrak adam v'hurtza basar shah achas yafshitena v'oira l'kehanim. The Man d'Omar that holds ein hefshet v'nitua rosh mizbeach will explain that we're talking about an ola that was brought to the top of the mizbeach, that became posel. It had been kosher and became posel. If we look at the Rashi, Hocha b'mayaskina le'olam kishe'olsa, when it was brought up onto the mizbeach, k'sheira ha'isa, it was a kosher ola. U'mishishachta b'rosh mizbeach v'zorak domo, after the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood, nifsala, the ola became unacceptable. Hilkach, yafshit, therefore, skin it, v'inatech b'makoma, and dismember it in its spot. The mochisla, if you take it off the mizbeach, su lo sakal, you won't be able to bring it up again. Udekashiloch, and if you ask, psula lav bas hefshet hi, that if it's posel, did we not see before that the Torah says there is no need to skin it? So Rashi goes on, explaining the Gemara, kegon dehoisa lo shasa kosher lehefshet. It had been an ola that was worthy of skinning koidem psula. Before the psul, before the deficiency set in, it had been a candidate for skinning. Bas hefshet v'niduachi. It's therefore considered worthy of skinning. Vafilu hi lamata vaboser posel v'nisraf. Even if it were not on the top of the mizbeach, it still would have been skinned. The skin given to the kohanim and the meat, since it's posel, would simply have been burnt. Uchrozer shimon diyamar lekamon beperek tful yoim kevon shenizra kadam v'hurtz boser shor achas lahaktir. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that when you have an ola that became posel, however, at the point that the zrikas adam took place, at the point that the sprinkling of the blood took place, it was fit, and the boser had been acceptable momentarily. And then v'nifsala yavshitena v'ar l'kohanim. His teaching is skin it, give the skin to the kohanim, and the meat is burnt. The ain ora nisrafima, even though the rest of the animal is burnt in as a rejected korban, the skin is not to be burnt with it. Hilkoch hashtanami, so too, therefore now in our case, ki isa barosh hamizbeach v'nikteres, where this animal, the ola that was shechted and dam was sprinkled, and only after that it became posel. Since it's at the top of the mizbeach, the meat will be burnt by a hefshet v'nituach. Since the meat will be burnt by virtue of the fact that it's burnt, meaning on the mizbeach, by virtue of the fact that it's on the mizbeach, it does require hefshet v'nituach. So this is an example of, according to the Mandom, according to the opinion that says that a kosher ola is not to be skinned and dismembered on the top of the mizbeach. Here we're talking about an animal, an ola that had been kosher, but became posel. And since it's on the top of the Mizbeach, we can't take it off the Mizbeach, because there won't be any chance of bringing it back on afterwards. So it is to be skinned and dismembered on the top of the Mizbeach, the skin given to the Kohanim, and the meat thrown into the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. Let's read all of this again in the Gemara itself. Hocha, we're starting with the inverted triangle. Hocha b'mayaskinon, kegoin shehoiso lo shas hakosher. We're talking about an animal that was brought, an ola that was brought up alive on the Mizbeach and slaughtered there. And the Mishnah says, if it was slaughtered there, you'll do the hefshet v'nituach over there on the top of the Mizbeach. It had been kosher, v'nifsala, but a psul set in. And as a result of the psul setting in, there, in this case, hefshet v'nituach will take place on the top of the Mizbeach, even though we're working within the opinion that says, in general, kosher olas are not to be skinned and dismembered on the top of the Mizbeach. For Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, this is in accordance with the teaching of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, the Omar, kevan shenizrak hadam, v'hurtza basar sho'achas, since once the blood was sprinkled and it had been acceptable momentarily, the psul, the deficiency setting in later on, yafshiteno, it's to be skinned, the ora lekehanim. The Gemara asks, v'ela, before we go further, we should note that in the scheme of things, the last discussion with the inverted triangle was supporting the explanation of the Mishnah, which would not support Rabbi Zeiro's teaching. However, the Gemara now asks a question in a direction that would question the last point and would reinstate the, we'll say, the approach to support Rabbi Zeiro. So the Gemara asks, if you're telling me that we're talking about a korban that became apostle, ve'ela dikotoni, but it's that which it teaches, keitzad oise, it says, and what is one to do, Moirid es akrivayim lamata umadichan. He is to take the innards off of the Mizbeach and rinse them. Well, lomali, why take them off the Mizbeach? You're not going to be, why are you going to, you're going to take them off the Mizbeach and rinse them, but you're not going to be bringing them back up on the Mizbeach. Since, after all, you're talking about something that became posel, so what's the need for this taking them off the Mizbeach? So the Gemara responds, we are talking about psulim. Hechi navid, well, what else should he do? Nak revinu bipersayu, should he throw them into the fire with the dung inside of these innards? The point of rinsing these kevayim, these innards, is to remove the dung from within the digestive tract of the animal. Well, what else could he do? Should he offer them in the fire with the dung in them? Hakriveu no lifochasecho hayuretzecho o hayisaponecho. The pasuk, without translating it, indicates that that which one offers as a sacrifice should be something that one would offer to a leader, a royal figure, and one wouldn't offer a portion of let us say of meat or what have you with the dung in it. So the Gemara goes on to say, well, our question really wasn't, why are you taking it off the Mizbeach? Anan hochi kamrinan. Our question is, of course you're going to take it off the Mizbeach, but madichon lamali, why is there a need for the rinsing of it? The Gemara answers, we in fact are talking about an apostle korban, and the innards have to be taken off the Mizbeach because you're not going to offer it like that because of the Pasuk HaKriveinu al Chasecha. And if you're going to ask, well, why is the rinsing? So we have an answer for that. De'i misrami koin achrina v'lo yoda naskinu. We're afraid of a situation of a koin that might come along and not be aware of everything that took place. And after taking these innards off the Mizbeach, he might bring them back on the Mizbeach. He might bring he being unaware that they became pasul, he may bring these innards back on the Mizbeach, and therefore it's important for us to take a preemptive measure and rinse them out. The Gemara asks, V'ana neku navid luhu l'kehane milsa da'asu ba lidei takala. Should we do something, in this case rinse these innards out, and thereby setting up the Kohen to make a mistake? In other words, a Kohen who comes along and sees rinsed out kervayim, he, not knowing that it comes from a disqualified sacrifice, will then bring them up. So by our rinsing them out, we're actually setting up the Kohen for to bring them back up on the Mizbeach. And he'll in effect be bringing up rinsed limb, rinsed pasul, disqualified organs. So how can we do such a thing? Set up a kohen for a takola, for a mistake. The more answer is afilu hachi adifa. After all said and done, this is better. Shelo yu kotche shemayim mutolin kinevela. To have disqualified innards lying there with the dung in them would be a sign of disrespect. So as to avoid that situation of them being mutolim kinevela, lying there like just simple carcasses, we rinse out the innards as a sign of respect. And yes, in fact, subjecting ourselves or taking a risk that a Kohen who's not aware may in fact bring them back up. But as far as the flow of this Gemara is concerned, it's important to note that we had opened up the sugi with Ula and his teaching of Kochim Kalim Shelfnei Zukas Domim Lo Yerdu, and we tried to support Rebbe Zera. That was Ula's teaching, and Rebbe Zera tried to support that from a brisa that we saw on Pei Dalid Omet Aleph, and that didn't work. That attempt failed. And the Gemara attempted to do that again by citing the latter part of our Mishnah. And that too was not a successful attempt to support Rebbe, to support Ula's halacha. And we were able to conclude all this by simply following the back and forth discussion in the positioning of the triangles as we went along. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. We also will be noticing the presence of Roman numeral 1 and 2, which is featured in the Gemara text to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a Roman number 1 and 2. And let's glance at the note we have in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Beis Lashonos, two versions, B'she'elas Rabbi Yochanan B'inyan, Emure Kochim Kalim, Shehelon Lefnei Zrikas Daman. Two versions in the question, regarding the question that Rabbi Yochanan raises regarding the innards of light-level sacrifices that were brought onto the Mizbeach before Zrikas Dam. This, by the way, was the topic that Ula featured in the opening part of today's Shiur. The bringing up, the premature bringing on the Mizbeach of the innards of Kochim Kalim. We will be using the Roman numerals. Number one, Yardu, O Lo Yardu. Yardu, O Lo Yardu. Are they to be brought down or not brought down? We will see a double underline emphasizing or highlighting Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. And a Roman numeral number two will deal with a different aspect of this situation. Ha'im yesh b'hen me'ila oy loy. Is there me'ila or not? Me'ila is the prohibition of benefiting from sanctified items. Is there me'ila with regard to these emure kochim kalim that were brought on the Mizbeach before Zrikas Dam? Now, turning to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, boy Rabbi Yochanan. In our diamond, we have featured the boy Rabbi Yochanan. If you just skip down a few lines, you'll see the Roman numeral number 2, where Rav Nachman Yitzchak has his version of Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan's question, where you see the double underline highlighting Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba and the diamond surrounding boy Rabbi Yochanan. So in the first version, we continue. Om Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, Om boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba tells us that Rabbi Yochanan asked a murei kodshim kalim, the innards of light sanctity sacrifices, shehelon lifnei zrikas domon, that were brought onto the mizbeach after they were shechted, but before the sprinkling of the blood took place. Yerdu o lo yerdu. Are these innards to be taken off the mizbeach or not? Just to review what we mentioned earlier, Ula took a stand on this issue. He said, lo yerdu. Rabbi Yochanan, that was Ula, that was circled on Omen Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan here is raising this as a question. Do they come off? Are they to be taken off the mizbeach or not? Omale Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami responds and says, "V'tiboya loch me'ila." Why don't you ask about me'ila? Is there a me'ila prohibition, the prohibition of benefiting from these innards that were brought on the mizbeach before Zrikas Dam? Omar le, so Rabbi Chiyo responds and says, "Me'ila lo komibaya li." It's either, when we say responds, it's he responds, it could be Rabbi Chiyo or Rabbi Yochanan, responds and says that I have no question regarding Me'ila. The Zrika hu de kavalahu be Me'ila. The only element or procedure that establishes the Me'ila prohibition is Zrika. And without Zrika, without the blood sprinkling, there is no grounds for saying that there would be Me'ila on the innards of the Kodshim Kalim. Ki komibaya li, what I do have a question, however, is Yerida. I have a question regarding the issue of, do they come down? Are they to be taken off the Mizbeach? Uposhit. And now the issue is resolved, is answered. Point Aleph, lo yerdu, that if they're brought up, if the innards are brought up before the Zrikas Dam, they remain there. V'ein bohem me'ila. And there is no me'ila. After all, we said that only the Zrikas Dam establishes the me'ila prohibition, but before Zrikas Dam takes place, so the innards are not categorized as being prohibited, and the benefit from them would not result in a me'ila violation. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni Hachi. There's a second version of Rabbi Yochanan's question. Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, boy Rabbi Yochanan. A murei kodshim kalim shalom lifnei zrikas doman. The same issue, the innards of the light level sanctity sacrifices that were brought on the mizbeach before the blood sprinkling. Yesh b'hen me'ila o lo. Is one who benefits from them in violation of the me'ila prohibition or not? Omale Rabbi Ami. V'tiboye loch yerida. Rabbi Ami, in this version of things, says, why not ask about the need to take them off the Mizbeach? Or is there a need to take them off the Mizbeach? Omale, so he responds, Yerida lo ko mibaya li. The issue of taking them off the Mizbeach, taking these innards off the Mizbeach, is not a question. Dinasu lachmo shel Mizbeach. They've become attached to the Mizbeach and become the bread or the food of the Mizbeach. They're locked into the Mizbeach. Once they're brought on, they are to stay there. Ki kome bayali me'ila. The question that preoccupies me, according to this version, is the issue of the me'ila violation. Upashit hachi. And this was resolved as follows. Lo yerdu. They're not to be taken down. V'ein bohen me'ila. Might be noteworthy if just compare the Aleph and Beis that we have here to the Aleph and Beis that we had at the end of the first version of Rabbi Yochanan's question. It's in fact comes out with the same legal conclusions. V'elu lo hoya psulon v'chulei.
the Mishnah had mentioned that there are a list of things that their psul was not Bakodesh, but rather the psul happened beforehand. And in that long list of things, there was a Baalmum. A Baalmum is a blemished animal, and its deficiency occurred prior to its entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah pointed out that all of those kinds of deficiencies, if brought onto the Mizbech, are to be taken off. In the long list, we also include a Baalmum. The Mishnah also went on to tell us that Rabbi Akiva was machshir b'balei mumin. The Rabbi Akiva said that a Baalmum who is brought on the Mizbeach, a blemished sacrifice that was slaughtered and its limbs brought on the Mizbeach, they are to stay there. Now, in Rabbi Akiva's halacha, how broad is that halacha when he deals with b'alei mumin? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, lo hichshir Rabbi Akiva, ela bedukin sheba'ayin. Rabbi Akiva is machshir only with regard to a very specific type of blemish. It's an eye deficiency, an eye problem, that this we'll just use the Hebrew expression, and that's dukin sheba'ayin. The Gemara goes on to explain why is it that Rabbi Akiva allows this type of blemish. When we say allows, it means that if it's improperly brought on the Mizbeach, it shall remain there. So the emphasis is on the explanation, Hayul Uksheirim Ba'ifos. We've dashed underlined this expression because this serves as a jump-off point for the continuation of the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva's justification for dukin sheba'ayin imperfections remaining on the Mizbeach is because there is a precedent for their acceptability, a lechatchila acceptability, when it comes to bird offerings. A bird offering is considered disqualified if it's missing a limb. However, if a bird offering has simply this eye blemish, it's not considered disqualified. It's kosher. It's acceptable in the realm of bird offerings. So since there's a precedent for its acceptability as a sacrifice, in the case of animals as opposed to birds, there we say, though it's not acceptable lechatchila as a korban, however, if it's sacrificed and brought onto the Mizbeach, it shall remain there, according to Rabbi Akiva. A further qualification in this halacha is v'hu shikidam hegdeshon esmumon, provided the animal was sanctified prior to the development of this imperfection. Umoide Rabbi Akiva, b'oilas nekeva. Rabbi Akiva, though, will concede if someone dedicated a female ola offering. An ola is brought only from male animals. If someone dedicated a female animal as an ola and was slaughtered and brought on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Akiva will concede that it is to be taken off the Mizbeach. And why is that? The keshekidam mumo lehegdesha damyo. It is an example of the animal's deficiency. In this case, it's a gender problem, where it existed before it was sanctified. Obviously, the animal is born as a female. So its problem, its deficiency, existed before its sanctification. There is an added point of chiddush over here, and that is that even though, in the case of bird offerings, gender is an irrelevancy, and hence a female ola sa'of would have been acceptable, nevertheless, unlike the logic that we use to explain Rabbi Akiva by the Dukin Sheba'ayin, which stated Hoyol Ukshem Ba'ofos, here that logic will not hold, that Hoyol Ukshem Ba'ofos. And the reason for that is because of this overriding factor, namely the Kidam Hegdeshon, Kidam Mumon Es Hegdeshon, where the deficiency arose before its sanctification. The Gemara now presents a question that we've labeled a long question. the markings that we have here, we have a slash indicating that this is a new discussion. The only connection that it has to that which appeared before was since we made a reference to oifos, Rabbi Yirmiyahu will raise a question concerning oifos, concerning burnt offerings. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara appears on the outside margin under the no say heading, Yesh Nir Baba Ofos Olo. When dealing with animals, there are problems under the heading of bestiality, where an animal was used together with a human being in intimacy. There is a case of an animal that takes the initiative, where it's the rovea, it has relations with a woman, and there's another situation of a male human being having relations with the animal, and in that case the animal is called a nirba. He is the passive partner, if you will. In the case of ophos, birds, it's to be noted that the idea of a bird being the active participant, being the rovea, does not exist. However, Rabbi Yirmiyahu will deal with the issue of nirba, what is the halacha if a person had relations, initiated relations with a bird? What does that do with regard to the korban, the bird's status as a legitimate sacrifice? Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, yesh nirba ba'oifos oy ein nirba ba'ofos. And a bird that was used in illicit relations, is it considered labeled a nirba and hence unfit to be offered as a sacrifice or not? The question appears in an Aleph O Dilma Bay's structure. So you notice the little Aleph we have in parentheses. And a few lines later, you see O Dilma, which presents the other side of the question. So the first side is, Mi Omar, do we say, Min Habahema? This is a quote from the Pasuk, Lahoitzi Es Harovea Vahanirba. The drasha in the Torah of Min HaBehema is used to serve as a source to exclude Rovea and Nirba animals. And maybe we should say the following, Kol Hecha De Isei Berovea Isei Benirba, Kol Hecha De Lesei Berovea Lesei Benirba. Only an item that, only a type of creature that could, let's say, be labeled a Rovea can also be labeled a Nirba. That's true with animals. However, any situation where it cannot be a rovea, for example, in the case of birds, its equivalent cannot be labeled a nirba either. Nirba being a legal status. So even though, physically speaking, the bird may have been used for human illicit relations, nevertheless, it's not going to be labeled a legal nirba, and hence it would be okay as a sacrifice. O Dilma, or possibly we say Hare Nevda Bo Avera. In the final analysis, a sin was committed with this bird, and that may be sufficient for disqualifying it as a sacrifice. So the question has been raised. Does a bird gain the label of a nirba and hence become disqualified to be offered as a korban? Omar Rabo Toshma. Rabo attempts to answer the question, and his resolution will be to say that an oaf nirba is disqualified. Now, how does he prove it? So he cites the Rabbi Kiva Shita in the Mishnah, Toshma, Rabbi Kiva Machshir, Bibale Mumin. Rabbi Kiva allowed, in the case of a behema, a blemished behema, that if it's brought on the Mizbeach, it is to be taken off. It's to remain there. Let's go over that again. Rabbi Kiva was machshir, meaning if a Baal Mum was brought on the Mizbeach, it is not to be taken down. And we explained earlier, since it's kosher ba'ofos, since there's precedent for a Baal Mum being acceptable in the case of ofos, the equivalent by the behemoth, if brought up, will not come down. The im Esau, if it were so, that an oaf nearby is kosher, nachshir nami b'nirba, hoyo v'kosher ba'ofos. then Rabbi Akiva should have been consistent with his logic and say that a nearby behemoth, if brought on the Mizbeach, shall stay there, because a nearby above an oaf is also kosher. So from the fact that Rabbi Akiva was machshir only with regard to the Baal Mum deficiency, but was not machshir with regard to a nearby problem, that indicates that there is no precedent by ofos of nearby being kosher. Shema mina. So from this we say conclusively that a nearby of an oaf is posel. Omer of Nachmar Yitzchok, Af Ana Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source supporting this idea that nearby Ba'ofos is possible. This source lists a few types of problems that can arise with regard to animals, but this source is talking about birds. And it's important to emphasize that point at the outset. The opening point is opening example of this source is dashed underlined nearby, and at the end of the source we have a dashed underlined phrase kulim mitamin begonah bebeis habliya. That phrase, that ritual impurity is imparted while eating. That while eating it, and only while eating it, one becomes tameh and his clothing become tameh. That's kulam mitam begodim. Basically, while eating it, one becomes tameh, including his clothing. This is characteristic of a bird. This type of tuma doesn't exist by anything else. Tumas begodim beisabliya, once again, is a bird-related phenomenon. So this source speaks about a nirba being unacceptable, and we know it's talking about a bird. So the source says hanirba vamukze vanevan veesnan umechir vetumdim vadroginis. All of these different kinds of problems. The nirba we've already explained. The mukze is a bird set aside to be offered to an idol. Nevan is an animal that's been worshipped. Esnan is an animal, in this case we're talking about a bird that was given to a harlot for her services, a mechir, a bird that was exchanged for a dog, the tumtum, where a bird whose organs of gender are not clear, are covered up, androgynous, is a dual gender creature, kulon mitamin begodim abe sablia. What we mean by that is that the malika that's done to them, the sacrificial method of slaughtering birds, which is accomplished by inserting the fingernail, the thumbnail of the kohen into the back of the neck of the bird, is incapable of mitayer these things. The malika is not mitayer them, since these are posel as korbonus. So for our purposes, the more conclude shema mino, we conclude that nirba by an oaf is posel, is unacceptable as a sacrifice. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKoyanim, he appeared in the Mishnah Daf Pei Dalid, and he mentioned that his father was Doche Bali Mumin from the Mizbeach. In our Mishnah we saw Rabbi Kiva not holding that way, but the Tanakama held, in fact, just like this, that you would not allow limbs of a Bali Mum to remain on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, "My Komash Malon, what is Rabbi Chanina informing us that we don't know already from the first opinion in the Mishnah?" The Gemara provides two answers. Iboy Azema, Maise Komash Malon. One approach is simply to say that Rabbi Chanina featured an actual incident that supports that particular approach. So he added an actual historical incident to back it up. Viboy Azema, my Doiche. The Lashon that he used in the Mishnah of Doiche means Kilachar Yad. Means that even though they're not to remain on the Mizbeach, their removal from the Mizbeach should be done in a quiet, unobtrusive manner, so as not to show a sense of, let's say, disrespect or offhandedness. So that the term Kilachar Yad in this case means it should be done in a quiet, unobtrusive manner. Kishen she'im ola v'chulei, the Mishnah said, "Kach im yerdu lo ya'alu," that if these the problems that were featured in the Mishnah, that if brought up don't come down, if they were taken down, they're not to be brought up again. Before we go further in the Gemara, we should note on the outside margin our Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a house form, and we indicate here Shnei Lishoinois Alma Ne'emar Dinoi Shel Ula, two versions as to what Ula's din is applying to. Now, Ula mentions that Avol Moshlo Bohen Ha'ur Ya'alu. If you have things that were taken off the Mizbeach, true, the Mishnah said don't bring them back up, but if they were taken hold by the fire, then they are to be brought back up on the Mizbeach. Now, what does Ula's din of Avol Moshel Ben Ha'ur apply to? So, number one, it's a reference to Al Psulim Shierdu. It's reference to that which was taught in our Mishnah. All those Psulim that were taken off the Mizbeach, the Mishnah says don't bring them back up on. However, Ula adds, if they were Moshel Ben Ha'ur, they are to be brought back on. A second version of what Ula's teaching here refers to is referring to the bones and sinews of a korban that became separated from the rest of the from the limbs of the animal. If you're talking about an ola is an animal whose entire body, limb by limb, is cast into the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. When we talk about the limbs cast into the fire, we're talking about entire, complete limbs with bone and sinews. What is the din if these bones and sinews became separated from the limbs themselves? So we will soon learn that if they become separated, they are really not to be brought onto the Mizbeach. However, what is the din if they became separated and the fire took hold? So let's see this in the Gemara. Amar Ula, loy shanu elo shelo moshla bohen ha'ur. The Mishnah that taught, im yerdu lo yalu, this is true if while on the Mizbeach, the fire had not taken hold. Avo moshla bohen ha'ur, if even a little bit of the limb was caught in the fire, Ya'alu, they're to be brought back up on the Mizbeach. Once again, we're talking about disqualified limbs. And we say that if they are taken off, they're not to be brought back on the Mizbeach. However, if while on the Mizbeach, the fire caught hold of them, even a little bit, they're nasu lachmash Mizbeach, they're considered the food of the Mizbeach, and they are to be brought back up. Rav Mori Masni Aresha. Rav Mori's version is just like we got finished teaching. He taught Ula regarding our Mishnah. The Resha means our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we learned till now. Rav Chanina Misura Masni Asefa. Rav Chanina attaches Ula to that which is taught in the Seifa. In this case, that means the next Mishnah. So what does it teach in the next Mishnah? Ha'atzamos v'agirim v'karnayim v'tzofayim. The bones, the sinews, the horns, the hooves, bisman shemchubarim yalu. When these parts of the animal are attached to the body of the animal, they are brought up onto the mizbeach. Pirshu lo yalu. If they became separated, they are not to be brought up onto the mizbeach. And Rashi adds, very importantly, and if they were brought up onto the Mizbeach, these separately, the horns or the bones that were separated from the rest of the limb, they are to be taken off the Mizbeach. So separated hooves, horns, sinews, or bones, if brought up on the Mizbeach, are to be taken down. Omar Ula, lo shanu elo shelo moshlo ben ha'ur. This halacha of the bones, the separated bones or hooves to be taken off the Mizbeach is true, provided the fire did not take hold. Avo moshlo bohen ha'ur, if the fire took hold, ya'alu, they are to be brought back up on. Man de masni asefa, Rabbi Chanina Misur, who taught Ula as referring to the seifa, Kol Shekein Aresha, all the more so would he say his halacha regarding the teaching of the Resha, that Moshe Ben Ha'ur, he would say, bring it back up on. The Rashi points out, Kol Shekein Aresha, the dam oila oimurim, the that which was featured in the resha, the there's another gears in the Rashi, evore ola, or the emurim bnei haktora ninu. Those are things that are to be put in the fire anyway, imlo nifsalu, if they didn't experience a disqualification. Vahani keva de moshe ben ur kachinu kamosh shehem sulin. And those things, the evore ola, or the innards of sacrifices, if the fire takes hold of them, that is a sufficient means of sanctifying them, even if they are posel. So the Gemara feels that if Ula's din is taught with regard to the Seifa, then all the more so is halacha would apply to the case of the Reisha. Uma demasnia Reisha, Rav Mori, who teaches Ula as regards the Reisha of the Mishnah, the means the our Mishnah, Avo a Seifa, but with regard to the Seifa, namely bones and hooves that became separated, Lav b'nei haktora ninu, those are elements or items that aren't destined to the fire in the first place. And therefore, the concept of Moshla b'nei ur would not apply. Mishnah. V'elu im olu yerdu. The following, if brought up on, shall be taken off. The Mizbeach. Besar koche kochim, the meat of koche kochim. The meat, of course, is something that the kohanim should eat. It has nothing, has no business being on a mizbeach. Ubesar kochim kalim, and the meat of light level sanctity korbanos as well. Umosar haomer, the omer was a meal offering, and the after the kometz was removed from it, the rest of it was to be eaten by the kohanim. So the mosar omer is to be taken off the mizbeach. Ushtei halechem, the shtei halechem is the are two loaves that were brought on Shavuos, on the Shavuos holiday. Those were to be eaten by the kohanim, not to be put on the mizbeach. The lechem aponim, the lechem, the breads that sat week by week in the heichal, that was distributed to the kohanim, had nothing to do with being brought on a mizbeach. Ushorei menachos vaktores. Shorei Menachos is after the kometz of a meal offering, after the handful of a meal offering is offered on the Mizbeach, the remainder is called the Shirai, and that's distributed to the Kohanim. And Viktores, this is a reference to the incense that was brought on the outside Mizbeach. It doesn't belong on the outside Mizbeach. Well, if it was brought on the outside Mizbeach, it is to be taken down. The place for the incense is on the golden altar inside the Heichal. Hatzemer Shibaroshik Vosim Viser Shibzkan Tioshim, the wool on the head of sheep and the hair on the beards of Tioshim, Vuhatsamos Vagirim Akarnaim Vatofayim, and bones, sinews, horns, and hooves, Bizman Shem Chubroim Yalu, when they are attached to the animal itself, they are to be brought on the Mizbeach, limb by limb. Shenemar v'hiktir hakoyin es hakoyl. The pasuk says that the entire thing should be offered. Pirshu lo yalu. However, if these elements became separated from the limbs that they are attached to, they are not to be brought on the mizbeach. Shenemar v'yosisa oyloisecha haboser v'adam. The pasuk says that the boser and dam are brought on the mizbeach and not other things. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.